The Denver Broncos, some way, somehow, make a 19-point fourth quarter comeback victory against the Giants, 33-32. The Colts, they're 6-1. It's time to really go in depth of what's going on down there. And the Cowboys getting it done against the Commanders, 44-22. And Washington, the injuries just keep on piling up. Week 7, top three, bottom three. And Bucks versus Lions. Boy, I don't know what's going to happen, but I just know it's going to be a showdown. This is the Paul Maruski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 818 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. We got Justin Tucker in studio with CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. We got a good one lined up for you today. Take a look at the 19-point comeback victory from the Broncos over the Giants. We'll touch on that first. Later on, we'll also get into the Colts going 6-1 and the Commanders. All things aren't looking good for them right now as they're currently 3-4. Week 7, top three, bottom three. Later on, we'll also do a recap of the Bucks and Lions game as well. Potentially Seahawks, Texans, but probably won't have too much time for that. Broncos, Giants, 33-32. Boy, what a game this was. First off, a lot of high emotions with this one, honoring Demaryius Thomas at during this game, retiring his number. So a lot of high emotions for that. But boy, the Broncos sucked for the first three quarters of this game. Absolutely sucked. Tuck, why are you cracking up right there? What's going on, dude?
I apologize. It's something Adam said. I apologize.
All right. Adam, keep it down back there. CJ, let's start with you because there's a lot that ended up going on with this game, right? I would assume you were probably one of many people that were like, the Broncos are not for real anymore. Like, they're not for real. It's a team that we just don't know what's going on with them. One week they have a very good performance against the Eagles, and then they kind of put up a stinker against the Jets, but somehow come away with a victory. And then they're getting blown out by at home against the Giants. All of a sudden, Bo Nix turns it up, leads this team to a comeback. Start with the Broncos first. I mean, what's up with the Broncos? Because this shouldn't have come down to this at this point, right?
I genuinely don't know what to make of the Denver Broncos. Like, I really don't. You know, they're just such a weird team. You know, they get their ass kicked by the Giants for the first three quarters, then proceed to drop all 33 of their points in the fourth quarter alone, like by themselves. Like by itself, that's it. This is coming off an absolute, just garbage, unwatchable slugfest against the lowly New York Jets. Then, you know, they barely beat the Eagles. They put the hurt on the Bengals. They lost a squeaker to the Chargers. They lost a squeaker to the Colts, who might be good now. We don't know. And you know, then they lost, or then they won a one-score game to the Titans? Yeah. This team is so just, I guess, weird is the term. Because like I said, like, you know, you go back and you recap all 7 of their games, you know, they're 5 wins and 2 losses. It's like, it's just, it's not sustainable. That's my only takeaway. Like, you can't always expect to drop 33 points in one quarter. And some of their wins, you know, like the one against the Eagles, you know, that was impressive, but I don't know, man. Like, And you all know that I'm not necessarily the biggest fan of Bo Nix, and I was never really that big of a fan of Sean Payton to begin with. But all I know is if you really want to separate yourself from like the mid-tier teams and you want to be a contender and at least protect your one spot in the AFC, because now the Chiefs are looking like they're coming back and the Chargers are quickly falling apart, but that's more due to injuries than anything. If you want to compete, then you absolutely, in my eyes, have to be more consistent. No more of these slugfest games, no more cardiac games. Like, you need a good solid win, like when you beat the Bengals 28-3. You're going to need to stockpile more of those. However, I can't speak to how doable that is, because up next you will be facing, or hosting at least, the Dallas Cowboys. And that's a team that's definitely got some spark. Then you're going to go to Houston. Who knows how that's going to turn out. You'll be hosting the Raiders and then hosting the Chiefs. It's not going to be easy, but you're probably going to end up staying above 500. But as I keep saying, there's a difference between a win and a convincing win.
This is quite the stat here. NFL teams had won 1,602 consecutive games when leading by 18 or more points in the final 6 minutes of a game entering this weekend. 1,000, great stat, by the way, Adam. Great poll. And so I also have on my mom's side, a lot of Giants fans on that side of the family, right? And my uncle and my grandfather were both just, I'm never watching another game again, this and that. One text that my grandfather sent, which my response was, what the hell did I just read? He said, defense is faded. It's my 70-something-year-old grandfather saying that, by the way. I just want to talk. Broncos, talk to me about them.
When I see a stat like this, unfortunate as it is, as a Ravens fan, I think that's a Ravens stat. That just off rip. That sounds like something we do. Just as how bad is our defenses, but I digress. But first things first, congratulations to the Denver Broncos. They came back 19 points down in the fourth quarter, took the lead, then lost the lead, and then Bo Nix converted and got them in position to kick a game-winning field goal right before the game ends. Congratulations to them. I don't even know what to say. When I think about the Broncos, I always think about the defense first, then the offense, because I thought the defense was amazing with Nick Bonito on that side of the ball. And I think he's making his case known to be defensive player of the year. When I look at the Broncos, I think like their defense is good enough to win them games, but sometimes their offense can be inconsistent to where they'll be in positions where they could lose some games, like the Jets. So I didn't know what I was expecting out of this game, because the Giants, even though they have a losing record right now, they beat the Eagles last week on Thursday Night Football, and they looked really competent. And then you look and watch this game through three quarters, it looked much of the same. The defense was looking good. The offense was moving the ball. Cam Scadabo scares me. Not as a, just like, I'm scared he actually might retire early, but I saw him score. I'm thinking, okay, the Giants are looking good. They actually might be a team to be considered. And then that fourth quarter happened, and then Bo Nix just turned it up. Two passing touchdowns, two rushing touchdowns, I believe. Yeah, all of that just in the fourth quarter. They got a two-point conversion, and then they just kept going on and on and on, and the Giants just kept on fumbling and fumbling and fumbling. I believe one drive, like the second drive in the fourth quarter, Jackson Dart throws an interception. So yep. Alex Singleton. And then they get the ball back in Giants territory. Bo Nix scores again. It's like, this is not looking good for the Giants. The Broncos should not be putting points up at the rate they were putting points up. And they couldn't stop the bleeding once it started. And then in the final game sealing play, the Giants decided not to pressure Bo Nix and just decided to drop eight into coverage, which was ultimately the worst thing they could have done, because then Bo Nix had time to complete a pass that ultimately ended the game, that got him in closer position to win the game and then kick the field goal. So all in all, it was an amazing fourth quarter for the Broncos, but I don't expect them to be able to do this every single time. I think I need a bit more consistency on the offensive side of the ball. But I think this was a good win show, so people can see Bo Nix be able to win from behind and be able to be confident in that and be confident this team can win in the playoffs if they make it, which I think they will.
Yeah. No, they're 5-2 right now. Jackson Dart, 45.5% completion percentage, by the way. He had an all right day. He had three touchdowns altogether, as well, along with a rushing touchdown. He had a solid day, but fourth quarter wasn't that great, especially with that interception. I think really when it comes down to it, I think my grandfather was right. Defense just ran out of gas at the end of the day. Maybe that's one of those things where you drop back eight because you are gassed and you're better off playing prevent. But who am I to say? CJ, it looks like you want to say something with that.
No, I was just wondering if we're when we talk about the Giants, right?
Yeah.
I have a thought that literally none of you are going to like.
Okay.
You can, we could talk about, oh, Denver, good comeback. The Giants collapsed. And yes, I know he had three touchdown passes, but are we just going to ignore the fact that Jackson Dart, I don't want to say completely fell apart, but pretty much got stuck in quicksand from a momentum standpoint for that fourth quarter? I mean, look at the game. He went 15 of 33. Like, it's in the fourth quarter, he could not hit the side of a barn. And all those clock stoppages save precious seconds for Denver. And, in the NFL, every second matters. Hell, 13 seconds is an eternity. I mean, just ask a Bills fan. But I know everyone's like, oh, he's the next big thing, but when I look at that fourth quarter alone, the next big thing, I think, finishes games. That's really more my problem. And also, they kept the lid on Cam Scataboo for the most part. Didn't even average 4 yards a carry, especially at the end there. So I think the Giants aren't as bad as their record shows, but this is one of those games where if you keep the clock moving, maybe don't finish sub 50, maybe you win. Also, shame on their kicker for missing that PAT. Missed PATs always come back to haunt you.
Yeah, yeah. That was another thing that my grandfather was saying, is that they need a new kicker. And that was before the second PAT miss. Anything else we want to touch on from this game? All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, the Colts, they're 6-1. Feels like 2006 again, where the Pats and the Colts are the top two seeds in the AFC. I love it. I love it. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. Let's talk about the Colts. They're 6-1, coming off of a win against the Chargers, 38-24. And their only loss so far was the 27-20 loss against the Rams, which was on the road. Other than that, they played almost perfect football. There's been three games where they've only had to, where it's been decided by one score, one of them being the walk-off win against the Broncos, that long field goal. I don't know if you guys remember that, or for some reason, I was starting to think that it was the Broncos that missed a field goal, but we're good. Daniel Jones. So we are kind of, CJ and I were kind of talking about this on Friday's episode, and the pace that Daniel Jones is on right now, it would be his best season since 2022. And it would only be the second time in his career that he would eclipse 20 plus passing touchdowns, which first time he did it, but the only time he did that was his rookie season. Right now, looking at his projected total, he's at currently at 1,790 yards, 10 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Currently projected, still a 71% completion percentage, 4,347 yards, 24 touchdowns, and 7 interceptions. As I mentioned, would be the best year he's had since his rookie season. Who would have thought? Who would have thought we would be talking about Daniel Jones like this, huh? It's kind of insane how well he's played. Tuck, we'll start with you.
I can't believe Danny Dimes is actually a fitting name for him right now. 71% completion percentage is actually pretty damn accurate. Danny Dimes is at it again. First and foremost, I don't know how I feel about the Colts. I know they're 6-1 right now, and they're head and shoulders above the AFC right now with the Patriots second behind them. But it's like one of those teams where it's like I didn't see them being this good right now because I thought Anthony Richardson would be the quarterback, and I didn't think Danny Dimes would be this good.
Tuck, now, hold on. I'll stop you there. Remember preseason when they were saying that like they couldn't figure out who to start?
Yes.
Yeah.
Like that's the craziest. I think that's the craziest part about all this. Sorry to cut you off, but I just want to throw that in there as well since you had mentioned Anthony Richardson. Like, insane. Insane that we went from that to now this.
Yes. And they went from a quarterback battle to now this. Now they're pretty decisive on Danny Dimes being the quarterback. Now that is Anthony Richardson still injured?
Yeah, he had he's on IR. He had that injury like pregame of last week's game. I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, but for some reason, it's not just Colts. People all over the league, for some reason, are getting injured before the game. It's weird.
And happened to two of their players. What?
It happened to the Colts. It happened to the Bills. It's happening around the league, and no one's saying much about it. But hopefully it's just a freak occurrence and not the norm.
Yeah.
But the Colts are looking good. I think in the AFC South, I think they're good enough or their record's good enough to just win some more games and just outright win the division. I'm not sure about Houston yet. I know they killed my team, but I'm still not sure about them offensively yet. Defensively, yes, but offensively, need to see more. Jacksonville is Jacksonville, and Tennessee's going nowhere. I think the Colts are head and shoulders above everyone else in that division right now. I think we'll just have to see what is going to happen in the playoffs. It's been a minute since they've been there, since 2020, back when Phillip Rivers was the quarterback. But I like what they have, and I want to see how far they can go. I think they're going to be a fairly good team and a fairly hard out, but I don't know. It's just something about Danny Dimes that I'm not sure about just yet. I need to see a whole season, like I saw with Sam Darnold before. I'm like, okay, this is – I can trust this. But I'm not sure yet.
CJ.
Well, Tuck, I know why we can't trust Danny Dimes. It's because I feel like, you know, we're kind of getting hung up on the name, right? I mean, that's what I think a lot of this boils down to. It's kind of like how in the MVP standings, there's usually like a quarterback who's not as good, but he's still there, and it's by name value alone. The opposite can be true. It's like, oh, sure, this quarterback looks good. He passes the eye test. His stats are good, but I don't trust him. Once again, it's just the name. You hear Daniel Jones and you, well, what do you think of? Oh, yeah, the multiple boneheaded interceptions. Him, you know, falling prey to the turf monster. The New York Giants paid him over Saquon. But no, he's actually playing well. You know, 23 of 34, 288 yards and 2 touchdowns. And also, what a year Jonathan Taylor's having, too. You know, this game he had 16 carries for 94 yards and 3 touchdowns. If you are a Jonathan Taylor fantasy owner like myself, then you know this man already has 10 touchdowns, and he almost has 700 yards, and he's averaging over 5 yards a carry. I mean, hell, give him the ball twice. That's statistically, at least, a free first down. So, yeah. When it comes to the Colts, Danny Derps, as I used to call him. Now I have to call him Danny Dimes. Don't really like that, but whatever. He is following that same like path of Geno Smith and Sam Darnold, among others, where they go somewhere else and just all of a sudden, like, they're playing like a top 10 quarterback in the league. Is it sustainable? We don't know. But honestly, I don't think you can really hate the Colts. Like, I mean, it's just sometimes some of these games, freak me out a little bit. Like, sure, they wailed on the Dolphins. They narrowly defeated the Broncos. They blew out the Titans. Their only loss was to the Rams. And, hey, the Rams had Stafford. They had Puka at that time. So, the Rams aren't slouches. They obliterated the Raiders. They felt more like they escaped the Cardinals than outright beat them, and they may have gotten away with PI at the final play, but hey, you can't leave the game in the hands of the refs. You can't blame the Colts for that. And they just beat the Chargers. So, like, they're playing well. It's not like it's not like Denver, right, where almost every single game has been close and they're not really beating teams or just outlasting them. No, the Colts, there are many games where they're going up, to these teams and they're standing on business. So I feel like if they're real or not, I think they're real until they aren't. It's one of those things where
it's like the Vikings last year.
That you're real, but you can also prove that you aren't. Whether or not you're real, forget what the pundits say. Forget what jackasses like me say. Only you can decide if you're real or not. Will you collapse? Will you go one and done? Can you make a run in the playoffs? That's quite literally up to you. They say, oh, well, you are what your record says you are. No. Your future is in your hands. When Daniel Jones is going out there and taking command, a quarterback that you're not only winning with, but winning because of, and when you have Jonathan Taylor rumbling like that and the defense turning it around after that disastrous tenure with Gus Bradley as defensive coordinator, and Shane Steichen, who was all but left for dead, magically pulling his head out of his ass, honestly, I feel like maybe they did turn it around at the right time. Like I said, I don't know if it's sustainable, but right now for Indy, they're real until they aren't. And as for the Chargers, just injuries, man. Injuries suck. Yeah, that's really all there is. They're down. So, we all know the offensive line's hurt, but it's not just that they're missing their starters. Their backups are hurt. Like, you're missing Slater. You're missing all. Then you had to start Trey Pipkins, who is also hurt. And they have to start. Are you ready for this? Tuck, I know you know this name. Bobby Hart. Bengals legend Bobby Hart is starting an NFL game in the Big 25. Yeah, I said that. Tuck's like, oh, God. I mean, that's how bad it is. And, you're down RB1 and RB2. And there are a few guys. Granted, more depth pieces, but I think there's even, a starter on, IR as well. So, yeah, for Chargers, injuries suck. But, hey, Herbert did have 2 costly interceptions. So, yeah, and a lot of those stats, 420 yards and 3 touchdowns is nice. A lot of it came in garbage time. They mostly just dressed up the score. But, yeah, this was a good win for the Colts.
I was about to say Chargers, unfortunately, because of the injuries, especially to their top two running backs, have sort of become one dimensional, especially when you have Justin Herbert throwing the ball 57 times. But just a real quick build off of what you're saying about the Colts, like they're getting it done, like handily beating the bad teams, having like a sneaky, like close game against the average team. And of course, like having close games and losing one here or there against good teams, it's going to happen, especially with a game like what you had against the Rams or a close game against the Broncos. So I think that they're currently playing up to par to what a, let's call it a top five team in the league, because that's currently what they're playing like. They're top of the AFC. So that's kind of what we're looking at right now with the Colts. But all right, let's move on. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. The Commanders, boy, they're 3-4, and it's not looking good. Injuries, injuries, injuries. That's the name of the game here. This is the Fumble Risky Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Risky Podcast. The Commanders losing 44-22 against the Cowboys. I kind of said this on Friday, not even really mentioning the injuries. I was kind of more saying, you know, Commanders feel like that they're in a weird spot right now, and I wouldn't be surprised if they were to have another letdown game, so to say. But this was a letdown game, and more so, to say the least. Look, I think everyone knew that the Cowboys offense was going to be absolute nails, especially with CeeDee Lamb coming back. That was huge, and they ended up putting up 44 points on a helpless Washington defense. But especially when you're coming into this season, you don't expect the Commanders to be getting blown out by the Cowboys. If anything, you expect this to be a shootout, which it probably should have. But, you know, Washington's down their top two receivers. Jaden Daniels is hurt again. Things are not looking good. They're 3-4. If they're not able to get 1, 2, all these guys back before the halfway point of the season, maybe even week, let's say that they aren't able to get these guys back before Thanksgiving, they're in real trouble of missing the playoffs. They really are. I want to say right now, if these guys aren't back, but if they aren't fully healthy by week 12, they're missing the playoffs. CJ, your thoughts?
It's just frustrating for the Commanders. It's the way I see it, they've been such a tease, you know, because when you look at Jaden Daniels and Deebo Samuel and Terry McLaurin, trying to get them all on the field at the same time has been an uphill battle. And the worst part is, these aren't season enders that they have. They're just banged up. I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. And when you're missing the wrong guys at the wrong time, yeah, that's going to suck. And Jaden Daniels, right? He was your savior, right? Last year's offensive rookie of the year. The guy who made your engine go, who already has a completion percentage of over 60%, over 1,000 passing yards and 8 touchdowns while missing time before this, is going down with a hamstring tear, which, you know, and I've said this a cajillion times, but hamstrings, one of those weird injuries, you know, like you're either going to miss like 2 weeks or like 10. You have no idea. And to be fair, you can say, oh, you know, they fell apart without Daniels, but I do want to give the Cowboys their flowers, because even with Daniels, the Commanders were getting stomped. You know, at halftime, it was 27-15. And yeah, you know, maybe it would have been a little closer, but I don't think Dallas was about to lose that game. But as for Jaden Daniels, maybe it's happening a year later, but when you go back to when he was drafted and you look at his scouting report, and one of the biggest concerns the scouts had is that he's too skinny and he holds onto the ball for a bit too long. And, you know, and when you combine those two traits, it's not good. You know, you're going to be taking a lot of hits. Heck, you can get the ball out and still be popped afterwards. And when you're that lanky, those hits start adding up. And they said, oh, you know, his frame could highlight some durability concerns. Well, it took him a year, but hey, maybe those fears are coming true. And, you know, maybe, does he have to bulk up more? I mean, you could argue that, but I know every Commanders fan is getting horrible, like Vietnam level flashbacks to RG3. And thankfully, it's nowhere near as bad, but it's his second season and he's already banged up. That's just an awful sign.
Tuck.
This is a weird one because he just had a very successful rookie season and now they're 3-4 and it feels like everything is falling on them. As far as Jaden Daniels, I think he'll be fine if he just gets some rest. Hopefully he can rest up and heal up over time. The problem is Marcus Mariota is now your quarterback, and I did not like him when he played against the Atlanta Falcons. I don't trust him, and I don't trust the weapons that you have right now. I think the only wide receiver I'm aware of on the Commander side of the ball right now is Luke McCaffrey, Christian McCaffrey's brother. I'm not even – Deebo Samuel out, Terry McLaurin out, not a good start. And the only one other pass catcher available that I think is competent is Zach Ertz, old Zach Ertz. This is not looking good for the Commanders right now. And their defense just got abused by Dallas. If they don't figure out a way to turn this around, I agree. They're not going to make the playoffs. And they need to figure out a way to keep Jaden Daniels upright. And I'm not sure they're capable of doing it. Now, I know it's just a hamstring, but it's not the first time he's had this hamstring injury this year. He got it, what, Thursday night against Green Bay? And this has been lingering for some time. Hopefully he can get back healthier with that. With the hamstring, hopefully he can come back stronger. But it's like, I was thinking they were going to be an easy playoff team. Now it's not looking so easy. I thought it was going to be them and the Eagles from the NFC East. Now I'm not so sure. I think it just might be the Eagles. I'm concerned about the Commanders right now. They don't look like the team I thought they were going to be coming out. And now they're on the verge of just possibly missing the playoffs in general, just because injuries aren't on the side and they're not playing as well as I thought they'd be. Hopefully they can turn it around, but I'm not sure they can.
They got a bit of a gauntlet coming up as well these next 3 weeks. Monday Night Football against the Chiefs. You guys will love this because pretty sure this is a single Monday Night Football game. CJ, you'll love that. No doubleheader. Then they got the Seahawks on Sunday Night Football. And then they got America's Game of the Week against the Detroit Lions on Fox the week after that. Then they got to face one of the worst teams in football across the pond against in the Dolphins. I don't see them making it out alive these next 3 weeks.
Maybe when their best case scenario is like literally 1-3 without Daniels. If the hamstring's not as bad as we think, and even with Daniels, you're probably looking at like 2-2.
Yeah, exactly. Like,
and you would have loved that. I was gonna say, like, even if you tie and you're below 500, you're still gonna be below 500.
Yeah, well, right now they're third in the division behind the Cowboys, who are 3-3-1, thanks to that tie that they had against the Packers. Ties, man. Sometimes they help you.
No, I meant like if you tie like the next four games.
No, I, 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 I know what you were saying.
Okay.
But either way, I was just making a funny joke because, like, Ty ended up helping Cowboys in this case, especially with getting the win. But, you said it, though, CJ. Like, if your best-case scenario is 1-3 the next 4 weeks, you're in a bad spot. Like, you would have loved to have been 4-3 or 5-2, even 4-3 at this point of the season, because at that point, when you talk 1-3 in the next 4 weeks, you're still in that, you still feel like you're in that playoff cusp. But you go 1-3 these next 4 weeks, you go, instead of being in a winning record, you're even more in shit in a losing record. End up being, let's math it out, 4-7. You're 4-7. Bad. All right. Anything else you guys want to touch on from this?
You guys want to touch on the Cowboys quick?
Yeah, why not? Defense still sucks. I mean, they were able to not give up 30 points this time around, but offense picked up right where they left off. They were performing great without CeeDee Lamb, and they just heightened that again with CD. I think everyone was, especially through the first few weeks, everyone was expecting this offense to be strict gangbusters, but with a bad defense, how much is it really going to be?
I think the Cowboys could be a playoff team, but that defense needs to get it together. They won't go anywhere without that defense. I think the offense is good when CeeDee Lamb is catching the ball, but that defense is going to be the death of that team. I think that's going to be the reason whether or not they make or break as a season. If they make the playoffs, I think it's an adjective positive thing for Dallas, considering they just traded Micah Parsons away. If they somehow still make the playoffs, I think that's pretty good for them. But all in all, I think their offense is great. I think Dak has been playing at a high level, but I'm not quite sure I'm convinced they can make the playoffs just yet.
CJ, you want to respond to that?
I see a wild card berth in their future, honestly. That's where I sit right now. The Eagles played the Vikings recently, and, they won. The offense was humming, so maybe if Philly has figured it out and Kevin Petullo magically became good, then I don't see the Cowboys winning the division. But I definitely think if Dak keeps it up, and now that CeeDee Lamb's back, we're definitely going to see them in the playoffs. And as, like I said, and especially like with the Commanders getting hurt and the Giants already being, far behind, they're 2-5. Like, they're a sneaky good 2-5. They're still 2-5. They've set themselves up well for a wild card berth.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot. All jokes aside on the intro or just the actual meme itself, but they could very well be in a 6 or 7 spot, maybe even 5. I echo what you guys are saying, that the Cowboys could very well be a playoff team, honestly. Wild card. All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be coming back to later tonight. Well, tonight on our end, for the recap of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and Detroit Lions Monday Night Football game and Week 7, top three, bottom three. This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast.
I've always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast by Power 818 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. We're back for the recap of the Bucks and Lions Monday Night Football game. We're currently 11:43 left in the ball game. Seahawks Texans 27-12. Not much else to really say about that game besides the Texans offense still blows. Seahawks defense still good. Sam Darnold, JSN, they're all dogs. All right.
Mm-hmm.
This game ended up having a little bit more implication. Two top teams in the NFC going at it on Monday Night Football, and the Lions, well, they take care of business. Bucks injuries are too much for them, and unfortunately, the game that you get Mike Evans back, you end up losing him for even more time, longer than what you had already did or already had lost him for with the hamstring injury. But now it's concussion and a shoulder injury, and immediately reported that he's going to miss most of the rest of the season. So fortunately, that's going to mean the end of the 1,000-yard receiving streak, which he was tied with Jerry Rice for, right?
Yes.
Yes. So if he had gone, it would have broken it. It's unfortunate, but still one of the more impressive feats in NFL history. But just in this game in general, Lions just took over from start to finish. Didn't really ever feel like Baker and the rest of the offense could really get settled in. And defense couldn't get off the field. Even when they could, Bucks were giving the ball right back to the Lions. And that was really the long... Bucks defense made some big plays to keep them in the game. But at the end of the day, Lions just... they just kept on mowing them down. That was really it. Thoughts from you, fellas. CJ, we'll start with you.
Plain and simple, Chris, this is what we said when we were doing our game picks. They were just too injured to really compete. You know, like if Mavis, I'm not saying they win if they're full strength, but it's a very different game. It would definitely be closer, way more enjoyable for the average fan. But yeah, they were going in severely hobbled. You know, Mike Evans is banged up. What's his name? Egbuka is banged up. You don't have Godwin. Any of the good players you do have were playing injured. And, you know, Evans, you know, playing hurt, gets hurt even more, done for the vast majority of the season. That sucks. But yeah, it's literally just injuries. Like they were too injured to compete. Like they really were. And yeah, losing sucks, especially if you're Baker, because you know he's got that chip on his shoulder. He's got that dog in him. You know, he takes it personally, and understandably so. But it's really just not their fault. Like you said, the defense made some plays. I mean, they got gashed a lot, but they did have a few good turnovers, you know, to keep them in the game. But the offense just, like I said, once Evans went down, you can freely double team Egbuka, who was also playing hurt. And, you know, another game without Bucky Irving as well. Offensive line still banged up. Like, you know, Baker can only do so much. As for the Lions, though, it's a good win, but from the outside looking in, if I were a fan, I don't think I'd be satisfied. Like, I really wouldn't. This definitely felt like a game where the Bucks injuries really kind of stole the show there more so than anything the Lions did. Because don't get me wrong, Jahmyr Gibbs was fantastic. I am talking exclusively about Jared Goff, 20-29, 241 yards, a touchdown and a pick. It just felt like, well, maybe it's me, but even though he was 20-29, there were lots of dinks and dunks. Lots of short passes that his receivers, you know, were able to just knife up the field. And I just felt like they left points on the board. You know, they would move around and then the Bucks defense would snap shut on them once they, you know, like once they got into the opponent's territory. And Goff, this was a game that they won with Goff, not really because of him. For the Lions, though, it's a good win. You'll take it where you can get it. And for the Bucks, good God, they got to get healthy.
I think with the Lions more, it was they were just trying to, I feel like, more or less bringing it back to basics, especially with that loss they had against KC, and keeping it back into the game that they play. Short, quick hitters and
and ground and pound, and they were pounding the ground, to say the least. Tuck, your thoughts?
First things first, congratulations to the Detroit Lions. I thought they were the better team, which was surprising because I thought even with the pass rush that they have, I thought Baker and that offense would be good enough to like still make plays because that secondary is still beat up. Like the starting players that were starting week one aren't there right now because Brian Branch was on a one-game suspension. So there was that. And also Teron Arnold and a few others were injured. So they were just playing with a makeshift defensive like backfield. And that secondary did pretty well, all things considered. Baker wasn't Baker. That pass rush really got after him. He did not feel comfortable all night. They were able to get turnovers. They were able to get sacks. They were able to make Baker's life a living hell. So when I look at that and I look at the overall team effort, I thought this was a good Detroit win. Jared Goff may not have been played the best, but he wasn't the reason they lost. And I think he did well enough to win them the game. That's how I felt about Jared Goff, but that pick he threw was horrendous. That's how I felt about it. Jahmyr Gibbs is amazing. We all know this. Sonic went Sonic mode tonight. I think the Bucs need to get healthier, but I don't know how healthy they can get considering Mike Evans' situation, how long that will take for him to get back, if he can get back during the regular season. Hopefully this doesn't deter them too much. I just see this as a good Detroit win. I think the Bucs can bounce back, but yikes, this was a rough game for Baker and the offense.
Yeah. It's tough to say where do you go from here for the Bucs, especially because, you know, you do consider them as a playoff team, a team that you would have thought would be in the NFC Championship. But, I mean, if they can get themselves healthy by the end of the season, yeah, 100%. But they need to get there first. They need Chris Godwin to get healthy to start as well. They need him to get healthy and get back to who he was. They need Ibuka to be 100%. They need the offensive line to be 100%. They need a lot of things to be 100% right now. And that's just a start at that point. Other than that, it's not looking good for Tampa Bay, but what do they got upcoming, though? What do they got upcoming? Saints next week. Then you got the Pats at home. Then you got the Bills and the Rams. Rams on Sunday Night Football. So you're going to have a tough task against the Pats, Bills, and Rams, and, of course, a division rival in the Saints who every other game they're going to be battling, and this is going to be that every other game, I think. So buckle up. Week 7, top 3, bottom 3. CJ, would you please calculate the pick'em?
Yeah, you just are on top 3, bottom 3. All I know is I sucked this week. I probably should have calculated this before going in. I'm very tired, but we keep on keeping on.
I keep thinking the same thing, yet I end up never doing it either. So we're both in the same boat here.
All right.
Top 3, Eagles. Eagles with a great bounce back win against the Vikings. Defense looked good. Offense looked good as well. Jalen Hurts. It seems that every single time everyone is saying he's not good, he comes out, has a great game. In particular, 326 yards passing, 3 touchdowns. Devonta Smith, 183 yards on 9 catches. AJ Brown, 4 catches, 121 yards and 2 touchdowns. Offense was firing on all cylinders. Broncos, massive comeback victory. Down 19 in the fourth quarter, scored 33 to get the win. On the day you honored Demaryius Thomas, hell yeah. That's all I got to say. And the Rams beating the Jaguars 35-7. I think for me, it's they may have just redefined what the travel day for these London, Germany, Dublin games are going to be, because they traveled on Saturday. They got there on Saturday. and beat the brakes off of the rent or off of the Jaguars the next day. Time is just a construct.
By the way, Chris, I have the calculations whenever you're ready.
We'll save it for afterwards. Bottom three, the Dolphins. Depressing. I will say right now, each of these three bottom three teams, it just gets worse and worse and worse. And that's okay with me. Dolphins, they got gashed by the run game today, which is no big surprise. Tua had three interceptions. Terrible. Now the question is, when he got benched, but when do you bench him for good? And time's coming for him right now. Time is coming for Mike McDaniels as well. His time is coming as well. The Jets, Justin Fields. There's not much else to say besides that he sucks. That's for starters. I will say that, you know, this back-to-back weeks where the Jets defense has allowed no more than 13 points. Good for the Jets, or good for the Jets defense. But Justin Fields, he's just a scared puppy out there at this point. And you bench him for Tyrod Taylor, who, you know, he can push the ball down the field to an extent, but his deep ball, he just doesn't have it. Consistently under throwing receivers. And Aaron Glenn, I mean, does Aaron Glenn actually know how to conduct a 2-minute drill?
Probably not.
I'm going to say no, because this is back-to-back weeks where he decided to stick his thumb up his ass for the final 5 minutes of a half. The Raiders. This Raiders team, I'm trying to figure out, like, of these three teams, I'm trying to figure out which is the worst team, and I just can't figure it out. But I think with the Raiders, yeah, they played the Chiefs, but by God, they may as well have just laid down and let the Chiefs just do whatever they wanted, because that's basically what happened. 434 yards to 95. That is what KC did to the Raiders. The Chiefs also had 30 first downs to the Raiders, 3. They were 0-for-7 on third down. They ran almost as many plays, or the Chiefs scored almost as many points as the Raiders did plays. Time of possession, 42 minutes, 8 seconds to 17 minutes, 52 seconds. By God. And then Geno Smith gets benched, and Kenny Pickett does almost just as bad as Geno Smith. He did complete 2 passes, but fumbled almost immediately when he got in the game. Just, I would retire at that point, to be frank. I personally would retire if I went out and had a performance like that. That is, I'd be embarrassed. I'd be brutally embarrassed. Question is, does Geno Smith get benched full time now? Do you sit him down? Because he keeps playing like shit. Didn't throw any interceptions, but not moving the ball. That is the week 7 top 3, bottom 3. Guys want to pitch in any thoughts?
Honorable mention of the Jaguars.
Yeah, honorable mention to the Jaguars. Yeah,
I just want to say to Jacksonville, don't think we forgot you. Oh, no, you are just lucky that these other teams were that much worse.
Yeah, like we were discussing it prior to the show. Like the Jaguars were moving the football. They just couldn't finish their drives. They really just couldn't.
Loki, you guys might disagree with me, but I think Cleveland needs to be bottom three. And it's not because they beat the Dolphins. It's because of what they did to the Steelers. They gave them Joe Flacco for God knows what reason, and the Steelers lost because of that trade. So that's
honestly bottom three for just trading like
your quarterback you started week one with to your division rival. That to me should give you bottom three material. This game.
When does Browns and Bengals play week 18? So that'll be fun. Any other thoughts that you guys want to spew out there before we get into pick 'em?
No. All right. I think you said it all.
CJ, read away.
All right. Our good friend, Adam Wright, you may remember him, got 9 picks right.
Good for him.
Yeah. I also got 9. Justin,
good for you.
Would you like to know what you got?
Yes, I would like to know what I got. What did I get?
You, my friend. Well, keep in mind, this is, I'm not counting the Seahawks game yet, because that's not over. I mean, you could. Because if that's the case, then Adam gets 10 if they hold on to win. And so would I.
First and goal for the Texans.
Yep. Hey, so you know, it ain't over till it's over. You know?
It's not over till it's over.
But Tuck, if this happens, then I believe you would also get 10.
Alrighty.
And Chris, no matter what happens, you win. Even though you picked Houston, they're not going to win. You got 12.
Ooh, come on now. Come on. Fuck with me. Ball with me.
That's how it is. Like, looks like Chris and, I mean, looks like me, Tuck and Adam are going to tie, if my math is right. Maybe not. I mean, you all could go on Instagram and see for yourselves, but no, Chris definitely won regardless.
I trust you.
I'm going to, right before the Friday episode, I'm going to calculate all the points or something and give a point update on Friday's show of where everyone's at. Maybe we can make a little we'll make a little competition of it.
Yeah, sure. And the winner gets
what exactly?
I don't know. I'll just get bragging rights and just shove in your face every week. I don't know.
All right, fair enough.
Sounds like you.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's better Chris doing it than Adam.
Yeah.
I'm gonna keep it apart. That's just how it is.
You win than Adam.
Huh? Anything else you guys want to touch on before we close the show?
I'd also prefer Chris bragging than Tuck, because you know Tuck's just gonna materialize in front of you, you know, do this. But I can't.
I'm watching this game and I'm pissed off as a Ravens fan. How did we lose to this?
Oh my.
Because you're hurt. That's how. Because your entire team is hurt.
We did not play with any effort.
Yeah, that's how
I feel. It's one thing to lose.
You know, the injuries didn't help. Also, Harbaugh's an overrated bum and hasn't won a Super Bowl since I was in fifth grade.
They are not this good. They are not 44 points good, regardless of the injuries.
Let's watch this fourth and goal play, and then I'll.
Yeah, then we can sign off. That's how it is. Yeah, sorry, people, that if it's going.
Oh, timeout, Seattle.
Yeah, timeout, Seattle.
I need to know if they're legit or not.
They're not. Tuck, they're not legit. No, I don't know what it is. They literally are low-key for the Texans. We're staring down the fact that they might just be like a one-year wonder team. Like CJ Stroud is fine, but I think they're going to be fine. They it's getting to a point where maybe it was just a fluke the whole time.
I would say that the issue is his rookie season, they made it to the divisional round. The second year, they still did that. So I can't say.
Actually, wasn't he one and done his first year, actually?
No, he beat Cleveland.
Cleveland
and then lost to the Ravens and then beat the Chargers and lost to the Chiefs. So,
I mean, a lot of it's the eye test, too. Oh, my God.
Flag. No. What? They get another shot at this? Oh, no.
Oh, brother.
They ran the play, yeah.
They still ran the play and were short.
But that's a that blows the play dead, though, so they get another.
It doesn't even matter. Yeah. That's annoying.
You know, Roger Goodell's up in New York getting on the phone like, nah, you can't.
Guys, you can't please stop calling flags. Time out.
Sorry to all listeners. You're getting more than you bargained for. But that's just some fun Ruski analysis. Fourth and goal from the six. Oh my God, Harold Price, there's a timeout. Oh my God.
I'm ahead of you guys. That's why. I am ahead. My fault.
An age only, maybe. No, I'm messing with you.
Jeez.
Yes.
Well, at least there's a little bit of drama for some Monday Night Football.
This is just
a little bit.
What drama? If the Seahawks could just get their head out of their asses, this game should be over.
They haven't been able to get their head out of their ass since week one of last year. Mm. Actually, or should I say their playoff loss to the
Chiefs?
Yeah.
I was talking about the Seahawks. This game, this game should be over right now.
I'm talking about the Texans.
All right.
Don't you dare.
Real this time, fourth and goal from the six. Ball snap, Stroud drops back,
offside,
end zone, and incomplete. Although, low-key, not low-key, I think Seattle got away with an offside. They jumped way too early.
No, they did. They did.
Wait, and no flags either. Seattle's celebrating. They know good and damn well they just got away with. C.J. Stroud's unhappy. D'Amico Ryan's unhappy, rightfully so. But can't leave the game in the hands of the refs, a game that you were not going to win anyway. Okay, here's the replay.
He jumps.
They got him to jump. That's automatic first down. But
no, it's not.
Yeah, that's DeMarcus Lawrence.
It's not an automatic first down.
It's just fourth and goal. Half the distance.
It's just fourth and goal from the three.
Just
really
neutral zone infraction. No, neutral zone infraction. Offside's not an automatic first down. It was fourth and goal.
I was about to say, there's no first down.
Oh, never mind. Yeah, dude, it's late. You got to give me a
All right. So, well, can assume Seahawks are going to win this 504.
They better win this.
712. There's not much else to recap from this game besides what I really just said earlier. So, all right. That'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning in. New episode coming out on Friday at 8 a.m. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, and we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros, he's Justin Tucker, I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you on Friday. Over and out.